John 15, verses 1 to 17, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other.
Thank you, Jean, for that reading. And for some time now, we've been following this story, this study on the claims of Jesus. And the famous I am statements. And today we come to the seventh one, which is the closing one. We remember we brought us the saying, I am the bread of life, from John chapter 6. Following that, I am the light of the world. And then, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Jesus went on to claim, laying claim to his divinity, his authority, and of course, his deity. I am the resurrection and the life. And like John pointed out when he brought us this this one, we see now Jesus focusing now to his closest friends. The first four ones, he was talking to everyone, all his hearers, obviously the Pharisees and the Jews. But from this point, he's now thinking about those who have been very close to him now, preparing them for what lies ahead. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe it's true strongly that Jesus is not a way. It's not one of the ways. He is the way. And he is the truth. And indeed, the life. And today, Jesus tells us, I am the true vine, talking again to the 11. At this point, in fact, from the point that he obviously ministered to Mary and Martha and brought Lazarus back before he made that bold claim, I am the resurrection and the life, we remember that it was at that time that Judas was preparing to do what he knew best. And at this time, Jesus is now talking to the 11, Judas having gone away to be used of the devil to betray Christ. So Jesus now talks to the very, very close people, telling them, I am the true vine. The vine used to be a symbol of Israel. In fact, it was a religious symbol. It was a sort of a coat of arms, if you like, for the Israelites. And God said in his word, laying us to know that Israel was actually the vine. So Jesus coming along, probably walking the streets, and on the side of some vine, now turns to his disciples. And I'm assuming he asked them, do you remember how it is that Israel is the true vine? Maybe they said, yes, sir, we do. But I am the true one. They are only a symbol, but they goofed. They messed up. They didn't live up to that. I am now the true vine. They were only a shadow of me. Whatever they were pointing to me. I am the true vine. The true one that they were pointing to. I believe that was on that premise that Jesus said that. And we know that the Gospel of John is a little bit different from the synoptics. Right from the beginning, like I mentioned, I think it was in the first I am saying, we see John introducing the fact that Jesus Christ is God himself. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So he is trying to let us know that Jesus Christ is God himself. And of course, in concluding his gospel writing, he says this, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So what he is saying is that he introduces the fact that Jesus Christ is God himself, and all I have written, all I have tried to do is just to convince you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. When I was growing up, I used to think that Christ was his surname, his last name, as I am Henry Ohaka. So maybe Jesus Christ. Christ was his surname. I don't know if anyone was like me. I think we are required to have two names, three names. But Jesus is the Christ. So Christ is Messiah. His description, Jesus the Messiah. Praise the name of the Lord. So, like I said, at this time, Judas had already gone off to do what he knew best, as we can see from chapter 13, from verse 30 to verse 35. As soon as Judas started taking the bread, he went out. And it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. These are scary words from someone you've spent a lot of time with, saying to you, that he's not going to be around. And I cast my mind back to when my father died and what he told me. You know, it's scary when someone begins to say things to suggest to you that they are not going to make it. But the difference is that we know that they have a better place they are going. You will look for me, and just as I have told the Jews, so I tell you, where I am going, you cannot come. Even scarier, isn't it? A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And later on, he went on also to tell them, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." So he was sort of preparing them for the future, having, you know, done his work and prepared them and trained them. He's now letting them know that the rest depend on you. So I want you to carry on, and I want you to remember this: I am the true vine. And if anyone does not remain in me, he will be cut off. But if you remain in me as a source of life, you will flourish, because I am the vine and you are the branches. You cannot do anything without me. And I discovered that vine wood in itself is useless. And that's why they always have things they use to support the vine. And so in Jesus telling them that you are my branches, I am the vine, that means without me, you can do nothing. So you have to depend on the words that I've taught you, on the training that you have received, on everything I've invested in you. But you have to remember that always you have to depend on me. And also, you can call on me at any time through prayer, because I will always be there to support you. And because I have this relationship in you. And you remember that word in Acts 17. It was when Apostle Paul went to Athens. And you know, you remember when he asked them, they were doing something to the unknown God and everything. But he quoted one of their philosophers and said, in him we live, in him we move and have our being. I think he's saying to us there that without Jesus Christ, we cannot do anything. So that relationship that you have with me, Jesus was saying to them, I believe, keep it up, because without me, you can do nothing. And he went on to tell them that I am the true vine. You are my branches. I am the one that has grafted you. You know, salvation is a free gift, but we had to do something. So someone said it's a free gift, but not a cheap one, because we had to do something. Of course, we had to give up something, our own will, to accept the free gift that God has given to us. And then he reconciled us to the Father. It is through Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are powerful words from Jesus. And he reconciled us as the true vine to the Father. And remain in me, as a branch will not bear fruit except it remains in the vine. You know, as we were just reading again this morning, that's how the Spirit of God does sometimes. Something popped in me just now, fresh. Jesus was telling them to remain in him, and in remaining in him, they will flourish, they will prosper, they will produce fruits. Or rather, when I read the Bible, it didn't say produce fruits, it said bear fruits. I don't know, I didn't study English, Judy. But I think bearing fruits, in my very simple mind, is different from producing fruits. Bearing fruit means that I am not the source, but I am just bringing along what someone else is doing. So it's not about doing, it's about being. And then I kind of reflect what he is doing. But what I said the Lord brought to my mind this morning is that when we remain connected to Jesus as the branches, we have to also be connected to one another. We cannot succeed on our own. We cannot flourish as a church when we have these individualistic thoughts. We cannot make it. We have to be connected to one another. We have to love one another as we love the Lord. We have to like have that, I told you about the Ubuntu the other day, that African ideology, I am because you are because I am. I cannot flourish if you don't flourish. Indeed, if I am the only one making it, that means we are not prospering. If we as a church have to go on to the place God has prepared for us, we'll all have to see ourselves as one and encourage one another. And that encouragement will come in different ways. It might come by just someone seeing that you are present. It might come by someone ringing you up when they don't see you in church. They ring you up. Are you okay? Are you right? I didn't see you in fellowship today or coffee and chat on Wednesday. I didn't see you on Sunday or prayer meeting or Bible study. Are you fine? Is there anything you want me to do? Can I go shopping for you? And things like that. We have to look out for one another. So Jesus is saying to them, you cannot flourish. You cannot produce fruit, bear fruit. I keep using the produce again. I said it's different. You cannot bear fruit if you don't remain in me. But I'm seeing the other way. You cannot really bear fruit if you don't remain with one another. If you don't keep connected with one another. So there is prosperity in oneness. There is fruitfulness in oneness. But we know that without Jesus, we can do nothing. And that is true. So, why is he the true vine? I've already mentioned the fact that Israel was the vine. And in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, the prophet said this to the nation of Israel, I have planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wide vine? And so Jesus comes along saying, I am the true vine. Only Jesus can offer us life with God. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And when we live our lives in Christ, that is when we will produce fruits that will last. When we stay connected to Jesus in prayer and in his word, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then ask whatever you wish and I will do it for you. So if we remain in Christ and his words remain in us through our interaction with the word, I always tell myself that I won't just read the word, but I will eat the word. What do I mean? I will devour the word of God. I will do it like I do food. When I eat food, I eat food with all my interest, right? Because I want to get the best out of the food. And the food nourishes me, you know, helps one to grow and all that. The word of God is not to be treated like ordinary chores. It shouldn't be something we do to tick the box. If the pastor asks you, have you read your Bible today? Yes, tick, I read it today. It should be something that I interact with, looking to get something out of the word. And if you are like me, there are sometimes some of the things I've been reading before will suddenly become alive once more again to me. It will make a new meaning. Maybe we've been reading it, but that particular day, it was meant for me. It will just hit me. or someone will be here up here speaking or chatting or doing some saying somewhere else, it will just come to you and you will know. And when it happens, you will know the word was meant for you. And you will know it was meant to solve an issue. It's happened to me several times when these things come to me in answer to something maybe I've been praying and asking for, or a confusion I've had for some time. I didn't know what to do or what to say. But when the word comes like Rhema, the word for the time, and I will say, yes, I know this is for me. And, you know, in those days when we were growing up, sometimes when people misunderstand this, they will go home saying, Judy, have you been telling the pastor about me? Because he was just talking about me today. That's the rhema for us that we should go home with. So if we remain in him and remain in fellowship with one another, he says we'll ask whatever we wish and he will do it for us. So a little thing about producing fruit and bearing fruit as we draw to a close. I am thinking that when Christ comes along saying that remain in me and you will bear fruit, he was just talking about something he walks through us, like I said, not something I do, not an action that I take, but that's something that he does through me. And also I believe that bearing fruit also is a call to intimacy. Because without him, we will do nothing. Without him, we cannot actually produce the fruits that he's asked us to do. So what we see him do through us, we ask him to replicate through us. Abiding is a secret to bearing. So what fruits are we actually asked to bear? I believe without Christ, we are barren. Without him, we have no fruit. But I believe he is calling us to a place of spiritual abundance when he asks us to bear fruit. I believe that he is guiding us through our Christian character, producing the likeness of Christ in us, asking us to go further, producing fruits of soul winning as well. So if we remain in him, we will produce good fruits, fruits that would last. What we do, what we say, we go a long way to converting a soul. And I also believe that the fruits that sometimes could be answered prayers. Of course, he says this, if you remain in me, you ask whatever you will, and I will do it for you. And that's the fruit, all right? So you will produce fruits of answered prayers. And we all know that answered prayers doesn't happen the way always we want, right? Yeah, I may say, Lord, I don't want a sunshine today. I don't want it to, it's too much for me. I just want no sunshine. You may be surprised that it will be even hotter than you wished, right? There are some times that answers will come not the way we had hoped, right? But we believe and trust him that he knows the best for us and that he means the best for us. Whatever he answers and he gives us. And it has happened to me also the other way, sometimes saying to me, wait. That had been sometimes the answers I've received. I want it now. Yeah. When I became a Christian, I had a little poster in my room. I still remember it till today. I didn't know where I got that poster. Do you know what that poster said? God, I need patience and I want it now. And that reflected my life at that point because I was beginning to get impatient with God. I wanted him to do everything that should have been done in 30 years in just 3 months. I just wanted him to do everything at the same time. But he taught me through patience that there are some times he needs to prepare me ahead of what the answers will be. Because if I run ahead of my time, I may not be able to handle the answer that he will give me. So he wants me to wait. But anyway, those answers, I believe, are the fruits. And I also believe that he will do his work in me to let me recognize that this is an answer from him. But he is a loving God. He doesn't just leave us anyhow. And also he says, if you remain in me, love one another. So the fruits will also be love. The love we have for one another will go a long way showing if we are actually bearing fruits for Christ. I used to serve in a church many, many years ago that we were talking about God's love, and we were talking the fact that people should forgive one another. And I close with this. I tell you one dear lady did, and I don't know if you will laugh or if you will be annoyed with her. They were not in talking terms with someone else, and it was obvious to the church that they needed to fix it as soon as possible. And so on that occasion, I said to them, maybe I shouldn't have, go to someone that you want to make amends with and hug them, you know, and do something that is crazy. And so this lady went off in the presence of everyone, going to hug this dear lady, and she got something she wasn't expecting. She got a hot slap. And everyone was like, it's even crazier now. But let me tell you, without love one another, we will not have anything different with those outside. The fruits that Jesus wants us to show is love for one another. If we don't love one another, there is nothing different with those outside. So real fruits, genuine fruits, is agape love. Not the one we say. You know, it's easy to say, I love you. Yeah. But when it comes to practicalize them, that's when it is real love. So Jesus is saying, remain in me, and I remain in you. And I put that here for us also to think about the fruits of the Spirit. In actual sense, it's not our fruit, right? What Paul is saying in Galatians 5, if not us, but we allow the Holy Spirit to produce these fruits through us. And we're going to do this as we enter. From next Sunday, we're going to enter our series on the Holy Spirit. So there will be a Sunday we will dedicate to study about this and see for ourselves how these things manifest in us. But today, my prayer is that the Lord will help us to really remain connected to Jesus so that we will produce fruits, that we will bear fruits, not just connected to Jesus, but connected to one another. You are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Perhaps one of them were not clean, because he didn't allow the words of Jesus to enter him. Shall we pray? Lord, we come to you trusting in your word. We pray that you will help us. On our own, Lord, we cannot do these things. We are not able to really, really bear fruit if we don't remain in you. Help us, Lord, to remain in you. There are crazy things today that are looking to detach us from you. Things outside us and even things inside us. Help us, Lord, that your word will remain in us, that these things will not have their way in our lives. We pray, O Lord, that as we produce and bear that we will represent you and that you will use us out there to show the love of Jesus Christ. We pray, oh Lord, at this time, perhaps there is someone that has been asking and praying without any answers. As you've told us that answered prayers is one of those things, Lord, that will ask as fruits. We pray that you will come through for your own. May you answer us to the glory of your name. We thank you, O Lord, for a lovely day like today. And we pray for ourselves, for whatever we have for the rest of the day, that you will be with us. Your protection and your guidance, Lord, wherever we go and whatever we do. And above all, the love of Jesus in our hearts. Thank you, precious Lord, for we know you've always heard us when we pray. And we know you've heard us even now, to the glory of your holy name. In Christ's name we prayed. Amen.